Welcome to the In Search of My Running Tribe podcast. I'm Shannon and Crow. Welcome to our very first official podcast episode. And I'm super excited to have joining with me here today one of my dearest friends, Miss Vanessa. Welcome, Miss Vanessa.
Thank you, Shannon, for having me.
So excited. So today's workout is just one easy mile. I'm doing it on the treadmill because it's pouring rain outside. But you and I always talk either in the car, doing things around the house, or when I'm running. So this should be just like normal times, right?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Awesome. So first of all, since I've known you forever and no one else has, tell us about yourself just a little bit. Who are you? What do you do?
Oh, wow. Bless you. In a nutshell.
No pressure.
I know, right? Gonna try to keep it small nutshell. I am a violinist and I do a lot of what you do actually, and I teach violin lessons. The difference is that I'm in Reno, Nevada, not in Indy.
And I'm in Indy.
Yeah.
Indianapolis. Yep.
And while it's pouring rain over by you, it is absolutely stupendously gorgeous blue skies, sun, autumn colors. Yeah. Okay, I'll stop.
We have talks. We talk about this all the time. You make me jealous. Pretty much.
Because I'm trying to get Shannon to come out to the West Coast. So, you know, I gotta plug it as many times as I can. It's not hard. I love it.
Right.
I've been out here for 13 years and pretty much doing the same thing, playing in orchestras as well, and doing creative projects. Yeah, that's my nutshell.
Yes. And I feel like you'll share some of your projects later on.
Definitely.
You're very, very busy.
That will be inevitable.
So I think it's going to be fun to share how we met, because when you said you lived there for 13 years, I thought, oh my gosh, we've been friends for almost 20
That's
years
true.
Now.
Wow.
Which is crazy. So we met in college at Butler University. Go Dogs! And I guess we met in orchestra. And then we lived in the same dorm, didn't we?
I was thinking maybe I could just say how I remember. What I remember.
Yeah, because I honestly don't remember when. Go ahead.
So I think one of my first memories of you is before we, you know, were hanging out. And I remember being, I think you've heard this before, but I remember being in orchestra, right?
Oh, I know where this is going.
I'll never forget it. I don't think anybody else there will forget it. Anyway, so during rehearsal, right? Our conductor at the time was very liked to talk. So he was going on and on. And we were all watching Shannon, because Shannon, you would fall asleep.
All the time.
Yes.
Well, so, I was working like crazy hours and taking lots of classes. So yeah, I was tired.
And you would be sitting there, right, on the edge of your chair, like, at attention, right?
Holding my violin,
like you're ready to play. And then we could just see you dozing off. But this particular time, I remember, the conductor was like, Shannon! I know what you're saying, which totally woke you up, because you were seriously about to drop your instrument. And we were all, yeah. So that's one of my first memories, actually, of you. Yeah.
When I still remember, you kind of created a wonderful chain in orchestra too of helping people keep me awake or grab my violin if I started falling asleep, which I am forever indebted to you for. Otherwise, I wouldn't have an instrument right now.
Right.
But I feel like we got closer friends after college. I think your life was crazy during college that it was.
I do remember following you around Indianapolis, though, whatever. The various Starbucks you were working at.
Yes,
and like I would bring my homework and just sit there and work while you were.
So I worked some late hours, and so it's perfect.
But was later, like
it was.
Last year or so.
Yeah. And I kept remembering when you moved away to Reno, because you went a year after we graduated.
Yeah.
For grad school. Yeah. And I was always afraid that we'd grow apart. Because, you know, distance does that.
Yeah.
But it's funny because we have. Out of all my friends, you and I have the most similar schedules.
That's
so I think it works out that I can call you at weird times.
Yeah, that's true.
Versus late at night when I'm done teaching and tired or whatever. Yeah. So it works out perfectly.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Right? So we talk not every day because we're crazy busy, but I would say several times a week.
Yeah, for sure.
We do Thanksgiving together a lot.
Yeah.
Hopefully again this year.
Hopefully.
No pressure. and yeah. Yeah. So this weekend, so that's a little bit about us, but you went to Mammoth Lakes.
Yes.
And I'm so jelly because I always think of the famous runners that live there, like Dina Kester and other famous runners. So whenever you say that, I just start drooling at the beautiful sights and amazing athletes out there.
Yeah, it is gorgeous. We had a ton of fun. So we actually drove, it was myself and two other girls.
Okay.
And we hopped in the car. This morning I almost ran off without one of them. So I do my, yeah, right? I've always done a million road trips. I love, love, love to drive, but I generally do them by myself. So
having do a head count.
I noticed I ate a lot more because when I'm driving by myself, I can't really be messing, especially because I like to drive fast. I can't be messing around trying to eat and open things and, you know, that sort of thing. And I tend to just get in the car and drive and not stop. But with them, I was like, oh, hey, could you open that bottle for me? Oh, and could you unwrap that for me? This is nice, you know? So I had
to have a personal assistant the whole time.
Yeah, it was nice. But then we were packing up and leaving the hotel. And I started, like, I took my foot off, like I was going to drive, and Hope wasn't in the back yet. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
So that's hilarious.
It's going to be a bit of a learning curve to, to drive with people. Anyway, so there was that. But it was beautiful. The weather was perfect. The leaves were amazing. We went off-roading for the first time with my new car. I hadn't done that yet.
And tell us what your new car is, because this is a very exciting moment.
Aww, I'm so in love. So my new car is, maybe I should introduce you to my old car first.
Oh, there you go.
So I had a Nissan Maxima, black exterior, black interior. Great car. And I got it to almost 300,000 miles.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing.
Yeah, had her for like 15 years. Her name was Sapphire. Yes, I totally named my cars. And
as you should. I don't know if you can drive a car without naming it, but go ahead.
Right, especially when you have it that long. You know, you go through so much. I had it at Butler, in Indy, and then brought it out here. Yeah. So many, 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 many miles, many, many stories later. But it was time. I mean, she was on her last cylinder. And I ended up getting my dream car that I've always wanted since I was 12. And it's a BMW 335 in a beautiful blue color. And her name is Tanzanite, which is a beautiful blue purpley gemstone. And she's got some serious power.
And I just love that you envisioned this car and somehow at the right moment you found it. I just love that.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to settle either. Like, I was waiting for it. I knew it would appear on CarMax, right? And that's a whole funny story in itself. We can get to that at another time. But, so Mammoth Lakes was amazing. I have not done the whole hot springs thing. It's really a thing out here.
Oh, yeah. Is that, are there lots of hot springs, or is it just...
I guess there's a lot of hot springs, and they're not very big. Last night was my first experience. And the hot springs, the people that are into them, like the two girls that I was with, they're like, oh, yes, do hot springs. They like to go at night, right? Which is fine, cool. Except they're not marked. We were talking to some other people that were staying in the one that we did finally find. They're not marked on purpose because they don't want a bajillion people, because each one is really tiny and they really are out in the middle of nowhere. So you have to off-road, all these dirt roads to get to them. But because it was, 11 o'clock at night, you're like, yeah, let's go, because it's nice to be in hot water and it's cold out. It was so cold. I was like, you guys are crazy.
What does cold mean? Like 30s, 40s?
It was 23.
Oh, you're not joking.
I am not joking. So you put on all the clothes you own, right? And then you go out there, you take them all off, and you put them back on. Anyway, it's I'm still wrapping my head around it. Still not sure how I feel about it. And they say it's always an adventure finding it. They weren't kidding. It took us an hour and a half of driving these roads way out in the middle of nowhere. And there's, no lights, no nothing.
So how many people were there when you got there? Because clearly people know about this, just not a lot.
Just two.
Okay.
Yeah. So there were two, and they said, you know, they knew where all they're from around there, you know.
Okay.
And they had been to another one right before, and there were too many people for them. It's funny because the too many people is like a crowd is three sort of thing. Because these things
basically really crashed small. Their party completely.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, so they're not, they don't want it to be easily found on Google. We couldn't find it on Google, you know, that sort of thing. And I get it because they are really small, you know.
For sure.
And it's a cool experience, just the whole experience. Like I said, I'm still warming up to the idea. I was like, why don't we go to them in the daylight? They're like, well, no, that's not, I guess it's not the way they do
it's it. Not done.
It's not done, right?
It's not done.
I'm learning new things every day. but it's good trip.
I love it.
And then you are getting ready for the marathon,
right? Yeah. I realize it's marathon number 23.
Are you serious?
I know.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I've
done a couple every year, but it's not my 23rd Chicago. Although I've done Chicago marathon
23 years. Although
every fall, yeah,
okay. I gotcha.
But it's crazy. Sorry, I'm almost done with my 1 mile here, and then I can rest and talk without heavy breathing. So yeah, it's been very bizarre. This is the first year I've ever actually trained properly. So we'll talk more about that another day too, but I hired a coach.
Nice.
And I've done 99% of what she said. I have missed a couple strength training workouts. She's aware. But anyway, so normally I really taper and don't do a whole lot of running shortly before the race. And this year I did like 7.5 miles on Wednesday. Like I've never run that much the week of a marathon. So,
and that's what she suggested?
Yeah. And I mean, I know people who actually train correctly do that. So it's not like I'm thinking she's crazy, but for me, it's totally different. So instead of being crazy with boredom, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I know by race, I'll be fine. So, but yeah, so this weekend's marathon number 23.
Yeah.
I go up to Chicago tomorrow.
Nice.
And I've been obsessed with the weather all week.
Yeah, what's the weather?
It's supposed to be in the upper 30s to low 50s. And the funny, that's great temperatures. But the funny thing is I feel like every year I forget how to dress for that weather.
Mm.
Because, you know, you run hotter. So if I was just standing there, I would wear one thing. But because I'm running, I would wear another. But I can never remember exactly how many layers. And then you have to remember, Chicago, sometimes you turn a corner and there's a ton of wind.
I was gonna say it's windy. Crazy.
It's windy. So there's that. So I'm feeling very, I don't say on edge, but I'm like, I don't know what to wear.
But it's better to have more, right? And then
you just carry
it if you peel off, you know.
Right. Well, and I've actually got Adam, my husband, his mom and his sister are going. So I know
you can just talk to them.
So, no. So it's funny. So Adam was supposed to run this year and his training didn't even happen really. Aww. So he backed out and then that's a whole story. And then he forgot to request the day off because he works a part-time job. Some weekends, not every weekend. So he didn't request off.
Shoot.
I know. So it's kind of funny that it was supposed to be like his parents, you know, his mom and his sister cheering him on. Of course, I'm there by default. And now it's turned into a big, he's not even gonna be there. So it's gonna be one big girls weekend. It'll be so fun. Yeah. So it's kind of like, okay, not what I planned, but that's okay. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Totally.
And his mom is a crazy awesome marathoner. She's gone to Boston and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. And his sister runs quite a bit as well. So it's nice to at least have somebody there who gets it. So yeah. I can throw something to them or they'll know what to say when I'm dying at mile, whatever.
Right. You say when you're dying at mile, whatever? Cause I wouldn't know.
Well, you don't say you're almost there. Cause that's usually a lie.
Okay. You don't say that.
And that's always kind of the joke because people are like, you're so close. And you're like, I'm at mile 6 and there's 20 more miles. Oh so no, I'm not close.
But it's not like you can say, keep going. You got most of it yet still to go, but you got this.
So I think it's more like you look strong or, you know, dig deep, little things like that. Okay. But it is funny the things that people say when you look like you're really dying, and you can tell, you know, the cheering section is like, I don't know what to say because she's gonna die any minute now. And so it's like, you got this, blue shirt person.
That's cute,
it's very entertaining. And of course you can't really like laugh or thank though because you're dying.
But you try to get a surmising the situation.
It's so true. Like yeah. Anyway. So but no, it's usually like you're strong or you got this or keep going.
Okay. Good to know.
One foot after the other. But anyway. Huh. So yeah, so I feel like this is the most I've ever been prepared for a race.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about how it goes and what the difference when you're doing it, how it feels.
Me too.
Other years, yeah.
But I had this fear because I keep talking about it. Like, I've never been this prepared. But I fear that I and other people have the expectation that, oh, she's going to PR. It's going to be amazing. But I don't think I'm going to. I'm not, like, the training and even my coach is like, this is your pace that you've been training for. Obviously, do what you feel is appropriate the day of. And that pace would not be a personal record for me. So, and I'm okay with that. And I feel like I'm scared that I'm giving that impression to other people and therefore more pressure on me that I'm going to PR. But really, I feel like this is my comeback tour. And I feel like that's a reasonable expectation for me. It's the beginning of my comeback. So it's kind of been my mantra this last week is reasonable expectations.
That is such a loaded.
Right?
Two words.
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
And I've even brought up in violin lessons this week, you know, people preparing their pieces or frustrated perhaps with where they are and learning their instrument. And I feel like that in life, we oftentimes don't put reasonable expectations. It's okay to have big goals. But do we have reasonable expectations in between?
What is a reasonable expectation for you? So when you were talking to your students, like what did you say?
Well, I had one gal who was like, I should be at this point. And I was like, whoa, should is a four-letter word that's just misspelled.
Should is a word that's not in my vocabulary.
I hate that word.
Yeah, I did.
Yes. It's so true. Ago,
and it's been great.
I feel the same way. Although I'm sure
I don't. But I don't say
Well, and I think the word should puts an unreasonable expectation. And so it's more, okay, what's your goal? Are you doing what you need to get there? Are your expectations for this moment where you should be to get to your goal?
Right.
Because goals can be huge and that's great, but are the steps in between reasonable? Is your timeline for these steps reasonable? And
I think you have a timeline.
What?
Because do you have a timeline?
I mean, that's a good question.
You have a timeline too.
That's true too, because otherwise you're wandering listlessly.
And expect them to just happen without a timeline. That's just not going to happen.
Right. So yes, I think it's different for each person and each goal and that sort of thing. So for me, like my expectation is that eventually I will get a Boston qualifying race time, but I know that I have to do the right things in order to get there. And I've never done that. I've never actually followed a training plan correctly. So that was my first goal this summer in training was to do that because I can't fix it all at once. That's not a reasonable expectation for myself. I'm a one person thing at a time person.
Okay. That's interesting. Cause I talk to mom about, you know, goals and that kind of stuff. She's like, you know, Vanessa, you like to try to swallow the apple whole. Right.
Ooh,
I do have very, very big picture ideas. I get very, very excited about big creative ideas and I do tackle them and I've learned to break them all down, but she always has told me that I could think about actually making the goal so tiny that I surpass them. Right, that is not what I do. That's not my personality.
And so that doesn't work. Never done that.
Yeah,
right. So,
but the thing is, it works for her. It totally works for her. She loves it. That's great. For me though, I make it way bigger than I know I can do, but I also know in the back of my mind that I can't, but I feel like I get way more done striving for the goal that I know I can't make than if it were a goal that was way under what I know I could do. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. So is she more like she makes tons of little goals and then that helps her get to a bigger goal? Is that kind of what she's okay. I'm very much that way as well.
Yeah. And that's cool. And that's what I'm saying. Like it's a personality. Well, personality
for sure.
Is a personality thing. what works.
Well, and I think we figure out what does work.
Yeah.
I mean, just trial and error, or we adapt to a certain method of of that.
Yeah, because I have tried it both ways, and I've gone back to my original way, and I get a ton done. Very productive.
I like what you said, though. You have it in the back of your mind that you're kind of having a loftier goal.
Yes.
Because for me, if I have that lofty goal and I don't do the baby steps in between, I feel like a failure. Like there's that thing in me like, oh, I'm overwhelmed. I can't do this. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And then I feel like I have to start all over.
Oh, no.
Right. Well, but then I finally, after like how many years of life, realized, oh, if I fix one thing at a time and work on that for a few weeks or months, depending what the little thing is, because sometimes little isn't that small. Then,
and all the rabbit trails that go with each little thing.
Right. And then that way too, if I fall off the wagon one day, it's one day and one little thing. The next time back in the wagon, whatever that was.
Yeah. I feel like I do the same thing. I just think of it differently. I mean, everyone, we all have to break it down. There's no one can do any big project without breaking it down. So whether we think in our mind we're breaking it down, or whether we think in our mind we're not breaking it down, we are breaking it down.
Right.
You know,
it's true.
It has to be done one way or another.
It's true. And it's funny how long it takes most of us to figure this out.
I know, right?
I imagine that some of us actually never do and just keep going in circles, which I've done that for a while before too.
Yeah, and it also depends on what it is you're doing too. I mean, some things are so come together so much more easily than others.
Word.
Yeah. But yeah, awesome. It's exciting.
Friend, we have successfully completed our first podcast together.
Yay! Exciting.
Who knows if we're just talking to ourselves or if we have other tribe members with us. Hopefully more people join us. We'll spread the word, because I have to say, running with somebody, and I've been doing my mile for a few minutes now, but running with somebody makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
And I feel like we think more clearly when we're exercising. You often walk when I run.
Yeah, I'm usually walking. Yep.
So we both get our fresh air.
Yeah.
Or today, my basement air, because it was really raining hard.
Because it's raining. It's beautiful here, by the way. Wink, wink.
Thanks. That's a discussion for another day. Anywho, I will talk to you next week after I survive the Chicago Marathon.
Yeah, and good luck. You're going to be amazing. I can't wait to hear about it.
Thank you, friend. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you all next week.
Sounds good. You too.
All right, ciao.
Okay, bye.
Love you, bye. Thank you for joining us today. If you want to join the tribe, follow me on Instagram at Shannon M. Crow or Twitter at SM Crow. See you next time.